this is Lori Berkner, and I'm so excited because the Lori Berkner Band has just released a brand new DVD. It's called Party Day. Come with us as we spend a day going from a costume party to a birthday party to a pajama party and singing all the way through. I can't wait for you to see it. You can get it online or in most major stores, and you can also go to our Facebook page or my website, LoriBerkner.com, for more information. Let's make today a party day! You're listening to Nightlight Stories.
Hello, and welcome to episode 37 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on August 23rd, 2011. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. We would like to send out a special thanks to Lori Berkner of the Lori Berkner Band for recording a bumper for us. You can find her new DVD, Party Day, on her website at LoriBerkner.com. What an exciting adventure for her. Speaking of adventures, our favorite little ferret is back with a new adventure of his own. Mojo's Outdoor Adventure was written by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. As you listen to the story, consider the following. What adventures have you been on lately? Mojo's Outdoor Adventure by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Mojo the ferret pressed his face up against the sliding glass door. He watched his mother silently bop to the music that was coming through her headphones as she washed the furniture on the deck. He was wondering why she needed to dust under the umbrella when suddenly a gust of wind swept down the hall and blew across his fur. The unexpected breeze caused Mojo's muscles to shiver and his curiosity to prickle. Leaving a little wet nose print behind on the glass, Mojo turned and scampered in the direction of the breeze. It was coming from the room where his mother and father kept all the books. Turning the corner, Mojo felt another blast of warm air hit him in the face. He ran into the room and looked around, trying to find the source. A rush of turbulent air blew into the room, causing curtains to billow and brush against the edges of a bookcase. Mojo looked up past an orange book on the top shelf to see an open window. He had climbed that bookshelf many times and had peered through the glass to the front yard just as many times, but he had never seen the window open before. In a flash, he scurried up spines, pounced over pages, and climbed up covers. Once at the top, he stuck his nose outside to take in the smells of the great outdoors. Thousands of aromas assaulted his nose. He smelled freshly cut grass mixed with lavender lilacs, mixed with prickly pine needles, mixed with sweet sunflowers. The smells were so vivid, he swore he could taste them. Some smells he could place, but others were completely new. A wave of curiosity rushed over him, and he leapt out the window, ready to explore. Mojo landed in the ground and immediately buried his head in the shavings. Blades of grass flew up around his nose and he pushed his way through the lawn. Like a shark cutting through the water, Mojo weaved his way through the yard. He spotted tiny ants carrying little pieces of white food back to their anthill. He saw a robin carrying a worm back to her nest. A squirrel looked at him once, but then went right back to burying an acorn. Mojo was in heaven. He couldn't believe his luck. Why hadn't his mother ever let him play outside like this before? He stuck his head in mole holes, wriggled between rocks, and dug in the soft dirt of the garden. He chased his tail around a tree, rolled down hills, and even took a quick dip in a puddle of muddy water that had formed at the base of a bush. The front yard was like a festival of fun, and Mojo played in it all day long. In fact, he played in it so long that he lost track of time. He never stopped to think about how late it was getting until his tummy started to grumble. Thinking he'd better head inside for a cool drink and some dinner, Mojo walked back toward the window. When he reached the house, Mojo noticed a huge problem. There was no bookshelf on the outside of the room, like there had been on the inside. He didn't have anything he could climb onto to get himself back up to the window. He jumped and leapt and twirled in the air, but he didn't even come close to reaching the window. Trying not to panic, Mojo formed a plan. His mother and father went in and out of the house every day through a door. If he followed the side of the house until he reached a door, then he'd just go inside, just like his parents. Confident that he'd be nibbling treats before dark, Mojo set off along the side of the house looking for a portal home. It didn't take long before Mojo came to the main door in the front of the house. Looking up, Mojo noticed that his problem had seemed to follow him. Just like the window, the handle of the door was too high for him to reach. He jumped and leapt and twirled, just like under the window, but once again, he just couldn't propel himself high enough. Determined, Mojo devised a new plan. Sometimes, inside the house, Mojo would encounter a closed door. Maybe a closet door was closed, or maybe someone was in the bathroom, or maybe his father was taking a nap in the back bedroom. Curiosity calling, Mojo scratched at any closed door. Tiny toenails scraping the carpet always made a ruckus, and whoever or whatever was behind the closed door would always come to open it. Mojo began clawing at the bottom of the door. He scratched and dug at the door, paws moving in a flurry. He pried and gouged at the wood, making tiny pieces of paint flick off. He chiseled and chewed with his tiny teeth, too, just like he did on the inside doors. He worked at it until his paws ached and his teeth were sore. When his fatigued muscles couldn't take any more, he stopped to take a short rest. He couldn't understand why no one had come to investigate the racket he was making. Then he remembered how his mother had been wearing headphones. She'd never hear his scratching over the music playing in her ears. Mojo cursed himself for being so brash. He jumped out the window without ever thinking about how he'd get back in. He had spent all day frolicking in the yard without ever once thinking about telling his mother where he had gone. Now, he just wasted time and energy tearing into the bottom of the door with nothing to show for it but some tired paws and an aching mouth. Mojo felt angry and a little embarrassed that he had gotten himself into this predicament. Now he knew why his mother never let him play outside all alone. She had been afraid he would get lost or stuck, and that was exactly what had happened. Mojo saw the sun beginning to touch the tops of the trees. He wasn't an expert at telling time, but he was pretty sure that the sun had been higher in the sky earlier in the day. He watched the sun for a moment, and he decided it certainly seemed to be sinking behind the treetops. He wondered what would happen when the sun completely disappeared. He had a feeling it meant that it would be getting dark soon. Inspired to get inside before the sun was completely gone, Mojo came up with a new plan. He decided to follow the edge of the house until he came to an opening. He wasn't sure there would be an opening, but what did he have to lose? At the very least, he'd end up right back here at the door where he could try scratching again. After all, his mother couldn't wear those earphones forever, could she? Mojo traced the perimeter of the house, searching for any sign of a way in. At the first corner of the house, Mojo found a white rectangular tunnel that looked like it might lead to the house. The tunnel was made of metal and looked black on the inside. Some tiny drops of water clung to the edge. Mojo licked the droplets of water, and they tasted refreshing. He wondered what the tunnel was used for when an idea struck him. He thought that this must be where the toilet water goes when it gets flushed. Mojo pictured himself climbing in, swimming through the tunnel, and popping his head out of the toilet. Confident he'd be doing the backstroke in the bowl in no time, Mojo slid himself inside. Almost instantly, the tunnel changed direction, heading upward. Mojo pressed his back to one edge of the tunnel, and using his legs and back to brace himself, began pulling himself up against gravity. Up and up and up he went. Mojo decided that this must be the tunnel that led to the upstairs toilet, because it was a long climb. Although his muscles burned with every step, he kept going. He envisioned himself curled up in his mother's arms, licking a sweet chunk of watermelon. With this goal in mind, he made himself put one paw in front of the other until he spotted an opening in the top. Exhausted, Mojo pulled himself out of the end of the tunnel and found himself on the roof of the house. He clambered to the edge and peered over into the front yard where he had spent the entire day. He looked right and left, but to his dismay, Mojo couldn't spot a way down. He was too high to jump, and he felt that his muscles were too tired to try to climb back down. With the sun completely hidden behind the trees, Mojo realized he was stuck. Mojo got angry at himself all over again. Why hadn't he listened to his mother and just stayed inside? Why hadn't he thought about what he was doing before jumping out of the window? Why had he let curiosity and impulse make decisions for him without thinking it all the way through? Anger gave way to fear when he realized that he would have to spend the entire night outside on the roof. He wondered how cold it would get, and if there were any creatures that came out at night that were less friendly than the ants and squirrels he spotted during the day. Then he heard the sound of something heavy sliding along a track. The sound came from the backyard, the side of the roof he hadn't checked. Mojo sprinted across the shingles to the edge of the roof that overlooked the backyard. When he looked down, however, he didn't see the backyard. Instead, he saw the deck. There, just below him, was his mother, rocking out with her headphones on as she shook out a rug. Mojo felt excitement rush through his veins. This was it. He could jump off the edge, land on his mother's shoulder where she would laugh and shower him with kisses. He crouched back on his hind legs, put his front paws forward, and took a deep breath. Just as he was about to spring, a different vision materialized in his mind. He pictured himself leaping into the air, landing on his mother's shoulder or head, and her panicking, being scared by something coming out of nowhere to land on her. Mojo imagined his mother screaming in terror, grabbing him by the back, and throwing him off the deck. The thought of being flung into the night by his mother made him stop and reconsider his plan. Maybe jumping off wasn't such a good idea. Mojo walked back to the edge of the roof and looked for another way down. Taking his time, he noticed that the roof sloped downward. There, near the lowest point of the roof, he thought he saw a way down. Mojo walked down the slope until he reached the corner. He judged the distance, visualized the sequence of events, and decided this was his best chance. He wasn't completely sure it would work, but he didn't see any safer course of action. Mustering up his courage, Mojo launched himself into the air. He plummeted for a moment, heart racing as he fell. Front paws out, Mojo looked like a super ferret flying through the air. Then, the soft fabric of the umbrella cushioned his landing. He slid down the slope of the umbrella on his belly. Face first, he glided right off the edge of the umbrella. Mojo, having planned out his route before jumping, expected this. Prepared, he threw his paws out to land on the deck railing. Then, with one bounce, he pushed off and onto the table that was shaded by the umbrella. Mojo skittered across the top, nails clicking on the plastic. From the table, he bounded onto a chair, and then it was a simple hop onto the deck. Relief blossomed in Mojo's chest. He couldn't believe he made it. Mojo's mother turned around and jumped back in fright. "What are you doing outside, Mojo?" she asked. "You shouldn't be out here." In one motion, she swooped down, picked him up, and gave him a quick kiss on the nose. "You could get yourself stuck or lost out here. Let's get you back inside. I just finished the last chore of the day, and I'm ready for some dinner." She brushed a gentle hand along Mojo's back, feeling the dirt and grime stuck in his coat. "Man, you got dirty today. What kind of trouble did you get into? In my plants, you crazy little ferret." Mojo kissed his mother's hand, wishing he could tell her just how close her guest was. He had played in her plants, and he had gotten into trouble, just not the kind she was thinking of. Scratching him behind the ears, she said, "Come on, let's go have some watermelon." Mojo thought that sounded like the best plan of the entire day. We hope you enjoyed the story. We would like to send out bright birthday wishes to Damian L. of Massachusetts, Seth F. of Texas, Kelly P. of West Virginia, Beth P. of Maryland, Ryan of Texas, who is turning 5, Zadie of West Virginia, who is turning 3, and Mariella of Louisiana, who is turning 5. We hope your days sparkled.
Hey there, everybody. Mr. Chris butting in here because Miss Mel is having her own birthday on September 1st. And, well, some people wanted to send her her own bright birthday wish. Happy birthday, Miss Mel.
Happy birthday, Miss Mel. Happy birthday, Miss Mel. Happy birthday, Miss Mel.
Happy birthday, Miss Melissa.
Happy birthday, Miss Mel.
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 We're wishing you bright birthday wishes, Mama.
We're doing late birthday wishes, Mama. Happy birthday, Mama.
If you missed out on sending Miss Mel a bright birthday wish and you really, really, really want to, go ahead and record a quick audio message. Then send it to nightlightstories@gmail.com and we'll play it during a future episode. Thanks to all of you who helped make Miss Mel's day sparkle.
One final thing before we go. I am sure you have heard about the earthquake we recently had along the East Coast. The U.S. Geological Survey posted it as a 5.8 on the Richter scale on their site. I will post that link for you over at nightlightstories.net if you wanted to learn more about earthquakes, what causes them, or read about the actual quake that happened in our area. It just so happens I was recording this story during the time the actual quake occurred. Stay tuned and you can hear the recording of the rumbling it caused in our house. As always, we look forward to watching the glow grow brighter with the many stories we can share together.
Oh my God.